Hello, and welcome to Geek Culture Online, your destination of all things geek. I'm your host, Patrick Boland. First, some housekeeping. Due to things way beyond my control, there wasn't a podcast last week. In fact, this week we had a couple of issues too, and I apologize greatly for it being 2 days late. But last week I'm not able to talk about what happened, because there was a non-disclosure agreement signed, but when I'm able to, I'll explain that. It's nothing legal, it's just something I'm not able to talk about at this point. Second of all, some of you are aware from previous podcasts that there wasn't any podcasts in January. The reason for that is that I had my equipment stolen. Well, I'd like to explain that there is a substantial reward for the return and the capture of the bad people involved with this. Now, you can reach me at patrick@geekculture.online and to provide information for this, and I greatly appreciate all my fans out there. Now, don't forget that besides the webpage at Geek Culture Online, we're also available on Facebook at Geek Culture Online, no period, Twitter at Your Geek Culture, Instagram at Geek Culture Online, no period, Tumblr at geekculture.online, and Google Plus at Geek Culture Online. Now, by going to our webpage, you're able to comment and like, and please do that on all the social medias I've listed, and there's other ones that I'm on there as well. So now, on with the show. Now, today, since we were unable to do last week, we're going to be doing an introspection on Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to kind of break the formatting that we've been normally doing, and what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going over all 5 seasons up to last week's episode. And today I'm here with a guest, Ethan.
Hello, hi everyone.
Yay. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to do this in chronological order, and we're probably going to be going off track like we normally do anyway. Yeah, we can never seem to stay on where things are going. Now, season one. Now, Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. appeared on TV, and it was kind of took place after the first Avengers film. Now, the people that do watch the show, and spoilers for the people that don't, and how dare you, Agent Phil Coulson, he is brought in in Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., but everybody knows, like, wait a minute, didn't he die? Well, the whole entire first season kind of addresses that. Now, there's two things that this season deals about. First of all, why Agent Coulson is still alive, and second of all, Project Centipede and Project Centipede's leader, the Clairvoyant. So there's these two subplots going on, as well as bringing in Daisy into the fold of the show. So there's, you know, that is basically all.
And also
Mike Peterson.
Becoming Deathlok.
Deathlok in there too. So what Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Basically does as a show is starts bringing in all these other characters that the movies haven't been able to address. Mm-hmm. Now this follows after what they call the Battle of New York, after the Avengers. Agent Coulson is tasked to do is to put together a team and then continue with S.H.I.E.L.D. And so that's what he basically does, and it's basically investigating all these sightings of superhero sightings throughout the country, or was it the
really
world?
The world. Even in the very right away in the first season, they travel overseas for some of the episodes. So
they do. Do that.
Yeah.
And so so Coulson is kind of investigating why, you know, he remembers going to Tahiti, which is a wonderful place.
It's a wonderful place.
Yes. And that they do this over 22 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea that they brought in Deathlok, which I thought was really exciting. And then they also, they don't bring any other, or introduce any other major characters, do they?
Not really. Well, I guess Daisy, or, well, she's Sky then, eventually becomes Quake, who's a character from the comics, but
yes.
She doesn't become Quake till season two? Season three? Season two, I think.
Okay.
Season two. Anyway, yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, so you know, they do break this apart on 22 episodes, and they introduce all this. They do kind of the Kree is involved with this one? Or does he find out what the Formula 356 is?
Right, so there is this blue body that's related to the experiments with the TED project. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they specifically say that he's a Kree at this point. I think that comes in later.
Yeah, the reason why they're using the Kree is because of the Skrulls are tied to the Fantastic Four, which is copyrighted by Fox at that time when this first came out. Which
are those Skrulls are going to be in Captain Marvel though?
Yes.
So
yes. So now in the season finale, they kind of try to set it up because at this point they still don't know if it's going to be renewed for season two. With time that the season finale was written, so they and all this other stuff. So they try to tie things up for the season, but leave it open for the next season. And now I'm reading all my notes here. Daisy get shot at this one, or is?
I think that might be later. But one thing that does happen towards the end of the season, the last few episodes, they do tie back to what's going on in the films because it was at this time that Captain America Winter Soldier was released. Mm-hmm. And so on the show, basically the week after Winter Soldier came out, mm-hmm. they tie in the whole thing of S.H.I.E.L.D. being overthrown by Hydra. All these Hydra double agents that were working in S.H.I.E.L.D.
And this where Ward?
Yes, and it's revealed that one of those double agents is Agent Ward, who's been on the series from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And an interesting little note I saw in the trivia on IMDb is that the creators of the show actually told the actor, Brett Dalton, that Ward was going to be revealed as a Hydra agent. They told him that before they filmed the pilot. So his entire time playing Ward in the first season, the actor knew that he was secretly a double agent.
See, I didn't know that. So
that's kind of cool.
That's pretty awesome.
One other thing I was going to mention that happened during the season, there was an Easter egg in the episode The Hub. So you may remember there was an episode where they go to the S.H.I.E.L.D. hub where mm-hmm. everything is all kind of centrally located. There's a sign in the background that points to a hammer hanger.
Oh, okay.
Hammer in all caps, so it's the Hammer organization.
They've never explained in the comic books what Hammer stands for.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, because when Green Goblin, Harry Osborn, takes over in the comic books, he becomes president, and he also creates the Dark Avengers, somebody asks him bluntly, what does Hammer stand for? And he goes, does it have to stand for anything? So it just,
gotcha.
Yeah, so... If it does stand for something, please write in and tell us, because that would be very cool to find out.
And then speaking of having these acronyms and what have you, so one of the other pieces of trivia I read was that Stan Lee mentions in the Son of Origins book that when they created S.H.I.E.L.D., they were inspired by the TV series Man from U.N.C.L.E., and so then they based Hydra on Thrush from the Man from U.N.C.L.E. series, which was... actually based loosely on Spectre from the James Bond series. And the funny thing is that was pointed out in this trivia is that S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics was based on a spy series, Man from U.N.C.L.E., and now S.H.I.E.L.D. is a spy series television. So it's kind of come full circle.
Yes, and a little piece of trivia, which I do believe that we brought this up during our Man from U.N.C.L.E. Podcast, is that Man from U.N.C.L.E., the TV series, the original one, not the films, was written or was helped be produced by Ian Fleming, which wrote the James Bond
series, of course, right?
Yeah, so everything's come entirely full circle. Now, Nick Fury shows up in the last episode.
I was just going to mention that. That was the other one of the very few times that we have a somewhat major character from the cinematic universe show up on the TV series. So. They've had a couple of other characters
Agent
Hill and Lady Sif.
Yes.
But not, Fury is probably the biggest movie character that they've had on the series.
Yes.
We haven't seen any sightings of any of the heroes like Cap or Iron Man or Thor.
Which, since the first episode, I've been waiting for that. It's like waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's just like I expected them to walk into a room and whammo, there's Captain America.
Right.
Or Tony Stark comes in and goes like, you're messing up my helicarriers. That's another thing you never see in the TV series is helicarriers.
No. They use the Quinjets always.
Yes.
In the, yeah.
The bus.
And then the bus, yeah.
Yeah, so basically they wind all this up. Oh, and Nifiri comes in at the last episode and goes, hey, you know, here's the keys to the ranch. You know, he turns it over and hands, you know, saying, you're now the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then he walks out the door.
Well, that also kind of ties back to Winter Soldier in that, you know, of course, part of what Fury says in this episode is that he's going to basically go on the run. He's going to be incognito for a while, so he needs somebody else to run S.H.I.E.L.D. for him while he's gone. He hands that over to Coulson and gives him this black box.
Yeah, so the toolbox, which only Coulson knows how to open.
Right.
Yeah, just and they kind of, after like season two or three, they kind of like don't talk about that anymore, which, you know, they have a tendency of doing that with a lot of things. They bring up subplots or other things, and then they go, ta-da, here it is, and then they move on. And it's like, whoa, why did you bring that up or show that or bring this person in, and why aren't you doing anything else with it? But, you know, they have a tendency to do that.
Yeah.
Now, it was renewed for a second season, spoiler.
and by the way, I guess we should have said at the beginning, all of this is spoiler territory if you've never watched the show.
So. Yes, and if you haven't, how dare you?
Right.
And it is available on
Netflix.
Netflix?
Seasons 1 through 4 are on Netflix.
Okay. And then, like, the most recent ones are available on the ABC Go app?
Yeah, I think ABC and Hulu. Let me just double check. I'm not sure if they have all of the series, but we can check that.
Well, while you're doing that, season 2 starts, and now season 2 is another 22 episodes, and they kind of focus around Agent Coulson, now Director Coulson, rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D., because this takes place after Civil War. And so there's, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is completely dismantled, and so now he's got to build it from scratch. And so that's basically what the whole entire season's about. And the first premiere episode kind of does a flashback to Agent Peggy Carter, which appeared in Captain America, the first Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
And how she kind of helps start S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Although she also did have a small appearance in Winter Soldier, too.
Yes, sadly.
Yes.
Yes, and how dare they... is that the first major death in a...
They don't talk about her death until Civil War.
Civil War.
But in Winter Soldier, they show a scene where Cap goes to visit her and she's old. You know, old and...
Yeah, just sad. But yeah, and she... the agency that she's with is called the SSR.
Yeah. Just to get back to the question about streaming.
Yes.
So it looks like on both the ABC app and on Hulu, they just have the five most recent episodes.
The five most. So it's a rolling five?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Okay.
So they have, right now, episodes 8 through 12, and on the ABC app, it says that episode 8 is going to be leaving in 2 days.
So. Okay, so then 9.
So that 8 will drop off when they add 13 on. So it's it looks like it's a rolling five episodes, but you can also, in the meanwhile, you can watch seasons 1 through 4 on Netflix.
Okay. And this wasn't last week's episode, which was episode 100, was a normal length. It wasn't.
Yes.
It was just because these are all an hour long.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So that wasn't like a two-parter or an extended episode. It was just a normal length.
Yep.
Okay. Now, since this episode, season 2, is dealing with the Hydra and rebuilding the whole thing, and they start off with doing a flashback on Agent Carter, then they kind of and her dealing with the obelisk, and how that kind of ties into, then they kind of bring it back to the present where Coulson is dealing with the same thing. So this series they bring in Carl Creel, who is The Absorbing Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and then again, Daisy, who's now called Skye, is dealing with Ward, who is a Hydra agent at this point.
Right. And they do also introduce the character Daniel Whitehall, who is one of the heads of Hydra, but he's actually been with Hydra since the Second World War, but he's done something to avoid from getting aged at all.
Which, again, they don't address.
Not entirely, no.
No. And which, again, that's another Fury thing. Oh, but you know, technically, General Glenn Talbot is from the Hulk comics. Did he appear in the Hulk movie at all? Or was that just Ross?
I think just Thunderbolt Ross, yeah.
Okay, because Talbot is a Hulk character.
Right.
So that's, I forgot about that, but they introduce the Absorbing Man. They deal with Talbot in this whole entire thing, and the obelisks.
And then the other thing they do is they start to introduce the Inhumans, because if you remember mid-season, because they took a break mid-season to air the first season of Agent Carter, at the end of that first, the like mid-season finale was where Sky gets hit with the Terrigen Mist, and
they get rid of
Agent Tripp. But they when they come back after
the break,
then that's when she's discovering that she has powers and that she's an Inhuman.
Yeah, and then that's where they kind of do two soft pilots, you know, Agent Carter, and then they introduce Agent Carter, and then they're testing the waters for the Inhumans.
Right. So then while they're also dealing with Hydra, then they start to deal with the Inhumans, and they find out who Skye's parents are, and there's this secluded area where all these Inhumans are living secretly away from everyone else.
They're called Heaven?
Something like that.
Yeah, and they're also showing that how the crystals have been bled into the water, so like everybody on the planet, just not ones that were selectively chosen. Anybody that has the capability of becoming an Inhuman has become an Inhuman, which plays an important part with the Inhuman series that happened last year.
Right.
And then in the finale of this, they're dealing with a whole bunch of different things. Skye kind of pairs up with the Inhumans.
Right.
She kind of goes screw S.H.I.E.L.D. for the moment. And then Ward, is this where Coulson gets his arm cut off?
Yeah, he loses his hand.
Yes.
Because he's trying to stop them from spraying the Terrigen Mist
everywhere,
right.
And I really thought that, up to this point, I didn't know that Coulson was real. I really thought he was an LMD.
LMD, okay.
Because Tony Stark talks about them in the Avengers.
Right.
I really thought that was in the Iron Man movie, but it was in the Avengers movie.
And I remember even when the first Avengers movie was out, people were saying, well, maybe that wasn't really Coulson that was killed. It was an LMD of Coulson that Loki killed.
Which would have made perfect sense. And that was an easy backdoor out. But no,
we had to go to Tahiti.
Yes.
Because it's a wonderful place.
Yes. Hail Hydra. And so Coulson loses an arm. Daisy, Skye, is out. And the Inhumans have taken her prisoner, and so this is all left hanging with everything, and you're like, oh my god, it's just
And then the other thing that happens, it mentions here, at the very end, the monolith absorbs Simmons, and she gets sucked away, and we don't know where to.
Yes. Yes, I forgot about that part. Yes, because I really felt like, oh, wow, did her contract expire? Are they going to get rid of her?
This is the end of the season, yeah.
Yeah, so. I felt like, well, that was one way of writing her off the show, because they got rid of Tripp, and I felt like, oh, wow. And I felt like, okay, they got rid of Simmons, too. And I felt like, really? Really, guys? How many cast members can go at this point?
Right.
And it was almost like The Walking Dead. It's like, nobody's safe if Tripp goes. And I'm like, well, there goes Simmons. And I felt like, well, damn it. But, that was the first two seasons. That's 44 episodes we've gone through in 2 years, plus 8 if you want to include Agent Carter. So we have 50 episodes of a Marvel TV show introducing not only new characters, but bringing in several other ones, and which would have been a great way of introducing like a Deathlok TV series and all this stuff, and then the Inhumans, which at the point when they were introducing the TV show, they were on the docket to
be
a movie.
Film, that's correct.
Film, yes, and so sadly that changed, and we'll get to that. But what we're going to do...
I think, did that get replaced with the Spider-Man movie after they got the Spider-Man rights?
Well, if you go to Box Office Mojo and look at the film, the Marvel films to be released, they're at the very bottom, and it says Inhumans to be announced. So it's still on the docket, it just they don't have a date for it. So I bet you that is going to be taken off entirely real
soon.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I think everybody keeps saying that's their first misstep. But, you know, maybe some people are grousing about Iron Fist, but that's another episode.
Yeah, that's a whole other subject. Yes.
Yes, which we will get to. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And then we're going to then go back and we're going to start season three.
Correct.
We'll be back right after these messages. And we're back. Now, we left off at season two. We're going to start season three now. The third season, we're kind of now gotten away from a lot of things, but now we're focused completely on the Inhumans. Mm-hmm. The whole entire season is about how they're going to deal with this, because now the mist, the crystals have been exposed to the whole entire planet. So anybody that can be an Inhuman has been changed into an Inhuman. So,
But some people are kind of hiding their powers, and because it kind of becomes similar to some of the mutant storylines that are in the X-Men comics over the years, where people are kind of hiding their powers and not letting people know that they're really an Inhuman.
Yeah, some people don't want their powers. Some people don't want people to know about it. And also, the government is breathing down Shield's neck about this too.
Correct.
And on top of that, if there's an evil agency that's going around collecting Inhumans too. So so Inhumans are getting hit from the government, Shield, and this secret organization. So yeah, there's that's the major reason why they're hiding out, or people are not going like, hey, look what I can do. So now let's see here. Blah blah blah.
And I think isn't that agency? It's the ATCU.
Oh yes.
Weren't they and Shield kind of both reporting into Talbot?
Talbot kind of got this other agency involved, and then Coulson finds out, and then he finds out that he knows the head of ATCU because it's that girl, that lady. She's not a general, but but
it says here Rosalind Price.
Rosalind Price, and he kind of knew her, and they had a history.
Right.
And sadly, she gets offed.
Yes, she does.
Yes. I think whatever secret agency, there's another secret agency that thought like, well, if we get rid of her, then we can control where the Inhumans are. But, and also from this, they kind of took the storylines from a couple of comic books, the Secret Warriors comics storyline, and they combined it with the Inhuman storyline and the Hydra storylines that were all happening in the comic books at the same time that this was out, as well as still dealing with the fallout from Captain America: Civil War.
Right.
So they had
were kind of setting up Civil War, because this is right before.
No, this
so it's the fallout from Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
Right,
Winter
but Soldier. So they're kind of setting up Civil War, though.
Yes, yes. Right. So they're kind of doing all this, and they have a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah.
So, and they're introducing all these new Inhumans and stuff, and Skye is still with them.
Right.
And Haven or Heaven or whatever.
Right.
Where it's all out. And they also, Agent May's husband.
Right, Agent May's husband, Dr. Garner. What happens is they introduce this kind of evil Inhuman that's going around and capturing and attacking the other Inhumans, and they try to track him down. And it turns out, we find out later, that this evil Inhuman called Lash is really May's husband, and he doesn't even know it because he kind of like blacks out when he turns when he changes into this character.
Now I don't recall. They cure him or do they kill him?
They capture him, I think.
Yeah, so they put him in, they lock him up.
Yeah, they lock him up. I don't
remember him dying, but again, this was three seasons ago.
He might have died at the end when we'll get to that when they introduce another character. Also, one of the other things that we find out at the beginning of the season is that we saw Simmons get sucked into the monolith.
Yes.
So she finds herself on an alien planet that she has no idea where she is. Mm-hmm. It's this blue planet where it's dark all the time.
And it's very desolate. There's very, very few plants and animals around, but the ones that are around are very dangerous and deadly.
Right. And there is apparently some creature that's going around killing people, and then there's this one soldier or astronaut that's there that befriends her. And
yes, and it sounds like that this dimension has been opened before,
right?
And it's the government was dealing with it because he has all this equipment and stuff,
right?
And he hasn't been able to get back, and he's he's ecstatic to find another human being,
right?
And so she uses all his equipment plus her cell phone to create a tracking device because these portals keep opening up to try to get back, and she managed to get a signal to Fritz.
Fitz.
I keep calling him Fritz. I have no idea why. Fritz the cat. And so she managed to get a hold of him, and so they get her back, but they actually go there.
They go there, but then one of the people who goes there with them is Ward. Because they... For some reason, and I don't remember all the specifics, but there was the group that was behind Hydra. They had something to do with this portal and wanting to get to it. So they send Ward in there. So he goes to this other planet the same time that Coulson and did Fitz go to?
Yes.
Coulson and Fitz go to rescue Simmons.
Now, you know, just you think that the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. wouldn't be allowed to put his neck out. But, you know, it's like Captain Kirk always going down on the away missions. Yeah, you know, just... Right.
With the red shirt who gets killed.
Yes. Right. The unnamed poor souls.
Right.
So they go there. They find Simmons. They find the alien thing that's tracking them. And they're like, holy crap, we got to get out of here. They manage to find the portal. They manage to open it up. Everybody starts piling through except for Coulson and Ward. And what happens to Ward?
Coulson winds up killing him. But... He's not really dead, because this is a comic series and nobody's ever really dead.
Nobody ever dies.
Right.
Yeah, because of Tahiti.
Well, in this case, the creature that they're running from actually takes over Ward's body. Mm-hmm. And so they introduce the creature Hive. Mm-hmm. And so Hive actually takes over Ward's dead body and then manages to get back through the portal into our dimension.
So now Ward's back, but he's brought Hive with them.
But he's not really Ward anymore because now he's Hive.
He's just the host. And which Hive starts absorbing a whole bunch of different people to stay alive because his body breaks down if he doesn't keep continuing doing that.
Right.
And he's still alive by the end of this series, which is again another 22 episodes. Now, you know, so we're counting down to that 100th episode.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't this where Fitz and Simmons get trapped in that piece of part of the Zeppelin and the bus and falls into the ocean? Or is that next?
That was actually at the end of season one.
Season one. Was it that far back?
Yeah, that was the end of season one. So when the whole Hydra takeover takes place and Ward... is revealed to be a double agent.
Mm-hmm.
Ward actually puts them in that box and drops them in the water,
and
then
Fury comes up.
They manage to get out of it and get to the surface of the water, and then Fury rescues them out of the water, and that's when they introduce Fury back at the end of season one.
Okay, that's the reason why he's back.
And then if you remember at the beginning of season two, after that, Fitz has a few like. Physical challenges because of losing oxygen during that.
Yeah, he's got some brain damage.
Right.
Yes. And this one, Ward is gets on a Quinjet. We're back down to the end of season three.
Yes.
And isn't it Lincoln on board?
Yes.
That one?
Yeah. So they figure out a way to because Hive seems basically unstoppable because if you kill him, he just grabs another body to get inhabit. So the way they figure out to stop him is to take the Quinjet into space and it gets basically obliterated
because there's no other bodies around.
There's no other bodies around.
So he can't jump into another body because there's nothing around. So therefore his the
essence.
Essence dies.
Right. But somebody has to fly the Quinjet up, yeah. And Lincoln volunteers to take it.
Wasn't it Sky? She wanted to go initially because she felt
right.
bad.
But he pulled her out, and then he took it instead.
Yes. And so, therefore, Kablooey, we lose Lincoln, we get rid of Ward, and there's, you know, I still haven't figured out a way of bringing him back because that was such an awesome character. But, you know, just, I'm like, no. I was like,
just kill, you've killed him twice already, just let him be dead.
Well, the thing is that I really thought that he was a double agent. And it just, I really thought that he was working for S.H.I.E.L.D., pretending to work for Hydra, but he's actually working for S.H.I.E.L.D. to, you know, all the.
No, he was a bad guy, and he was working for Hydra the whole time.
I'm in complete denial. Now, also another thing that they bring up is, they introduce Radcliffe dealing with Ada and his version of the LMDs or life model decoys, and that was kind of where that season ended.
Right. Well, that, at the what happens is the Quinjet blows up in space. They kill Lincoln's dead. Hive is dead, and so then they fast forward a few months few minutes of the last episode. Mm-hmm. They fast forward a few months. They see that Daisy has now left S.H.I.E.L.D. She's a rogue. Mm-hmm. But Coulson and Mac are tracking her. Mm-hmm. And they, as a hint to season four, Mac says a line to Coulson about talking to the new director. So it's hinted that Coulson has stepped down as being director. And then at the very end, we see Radcliffe putting together Ada, his life model decoy. So again, also teasing ahead to season four.
Yes. And so, and I really felt like, well, wait a minute. Now, they have to introduce Tony Stark because of his line in The Avengers going like, I cannot be reached. This is my LMD. And I thought like, damn, this is how they're going to do it because right. He's really behind this whole entire thing. No, this infuriates fans when they find out that, wait a minute. LMDs were introduced by Tony Stark, and here's Dr. Radcliffe doing this, and it's just like, so that whole entire time period between season 3 and season 4, the internet was just scorching.
They did the same thing in the films where they had Tony Stark create Ultron instead of Hank Pym, because in the comics, Hank Pym created Ultron. So.
Which I felt like...
Because they hadn't done Ant-Man yet, so Hank Pym hadn't been introduced into the films yet. So.
Well, yeah. It just seemed, if you really think about it, Tony Stark has been at fault for this whole entire thing from the beginning.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then, so the one side note here, especially in light of this last episode being the 100th episode.
Yes.
By the end of season 3, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had reached its 67th episode, mm-hmm. which officially made Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the longest running live action Marvel TV series in history.
Ever.
It surpassed the previous record holder, which was Mutant X with 66 episodes. Not a show that I would have guessed.
I really didn't think that show went that long. I was very surprised.
I'll be honest, I didn't really ever follow that series that much. It was It was
Fox.
Like I thought it was on like CW or something like that, or
maybe it was. I think you're right. It was just, you know, it was a channel that I never really watched, and I only caught them because it was on a weird night. It was Friday.
I want to say it was like, it wasn't even at night. I think it was like Saturday afternoon or something like that, or
really?
Maybe Saturday night. I don't know, but
yeah, it was on a weird time, and so it was either I was working. Or there was other things going on, so I caught it when I could. But
right.
Really, 66 episodes.
Would have never guessed that.
No, I wouldn't either. But whammo, here we are, beginning of season 4. Now, we've dealt with Inhumans. We've dealt with the destruction of S.H.I.E.L.D. We've dealt with bringing all these other characters.
We've dealt with Hydra.
So now, where can they really go with this? Now, we're going to deal with the fallout from the second Avengers movie.
Right. So one of the things they introduce at the beginning of season 4 is they're having their enhanced people have to sign the Sokovia Accord. So that's one of the things we see in some of the episodes. There's even, I don't know if you've ever watched it, but there was they did like a little web series.
I caught some of it.
With Yo-Yo having to sign her Sokovia Accord, her meeting with the new director and signing her.
And we're going to be dealing with that new director soon enough.
Right. Did you want to talk about the structure of the season, too? What they changed up with season
yeah,
4?
Yeah, they have, you know, you think that they had enough balls in the air with the last few seasons. No, they have so many complex storylines going on this one that they broke it into part into three parts, and they're calling the writers called it pods.
So it's kind of like three mini seasons, if you will.
Yeah.
Each one being about like 7 or 8 episodes, roughly. Mm-hmm. And then one of the things they introduce with season 4 with these pods mm-hmm. is where we see the changes to the title credits. So
yes.
So really, up until now, they've had the standard where you see the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo with the eagle, and it just says Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we start seeing in the first pod is we see the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. logo, but then everything gets on fire. There's flame everywhere, and we'll talk about why in just a second.
But didn't they also do this with the second or third season where they were hinting at Hydra?
No, the Hydra one came in this one.
In the
last pod.
Okay, so I just blew apart there.
That's okay.
Okay. The first pod introduced a character which I really was excited about, and I really thought they were going to do a series from this because they did a soft, like, pilot with Agent Carter. So the first part dealt with Ghost Rider, the latest iteration of it, because he's driving a car and he's also Latino.
Right. So and maybe they also wanted to make people forget about the Nicolas Cage films of Ghost Rider.
That was probably a yes.
That might have had something to do with it.
But, you know, up to this point, Marvel had 5 different Ghost Riders, going back to A Guy on a Horse.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And so that was a series that was in the late 60s, and it was called Ghost Rider, and it was a guy that, in old Western times, he dressed in all white, with a white mask, and he ran around on a white horse.
I just remember the one, I guess, starting in the 70s when I saw it was, you know, with him on the bike with the flaming head.
Yes, was Nicolas Cage.
Right.
Yes, and but in the last Ghost, there was like, I thought there was more than one Ghost Rider movie. If not, it was the same
there
movie.
There were two. There did two.
Yeah.
Both with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, and then they showed the Ghost Rider horse in that one, too.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so,
okay.
So this one was a guy driving a car, which was
Robbie Reyes,
and it was great because I thought, like, oh, this is really awesome. We're mm-hmm. going to get another TV series out of them. Yeah, but they also introduced a gang that was called the Watchdogs.
Right.
And this is where now Daisy, who changed to Sky, who is now...
No, she was Sky at first.
Sky.
And then she found out, when she found her parents, she found out her real name is Daisy. But then she's going by the code name Quake.
Quake now, which right. is going to play a major part next season.
Yes.
And so now Ghost Rider is going around destroying all of the villains in his neighborhood, which brings, of course, S.H.I.E.L.D. to his doorstep.
Well, it brings, doesn't it bring Daisy
yes.
/ Quake to his doorstep?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And the Watchdogs, by the way, one of the things they're doing is hunting in humans or in people with enhanced abilities.
So that's the reason why Quake goes after him.
Right.
Because, you know, she's still wanted.
Yes.
And so.
Oh, no, she's not wanted yet. She's just on the run. She's just broken away from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and then also Fitz discovers Radcliffe's android called
Ada,
and he's like, "What have you done?" And he's like, "Well, okay, I'll help you, and I'll help keep this quiet too."
Right, and he does not disclose any of this to anybody at S.H.I.E.L.D.
No,
including Simmons, who
yes.
he's now romantically involved with.
Yes, yeah. You would think that, like, oh, you know, I had a great day at work. By the way, there's an android. but no, you know, so there's that subplot that's going on, and we're still talking about the first pod. So,
right.
You know, these, a lot of balls in the air.
And then they introduced the new director,
yes.
who's Jeffrey Mace. And Jeffrey Mace in the comics was one of the later Captain Americas.
Yes.
But in this series, he suits up in a kind of Captain America type costume
yes.
as the Patriot.
Yes, and it has a star on it, and he's in it, so it's very much like.
But thankfully, they in the films, War Machine went back to being War Machine instead of the Iron Patriot. Remember?
Yes.
Was it the second Iron Man? He was the Iron Patriot.
Yeah, which
they got rid of that,
God,
thankfully.
Yes, but you know, but the Iron Patriot was in the comic books too. So
right.
That's here and there. Now, also, they because of the Ghost Rider thing, they're dealing. They also mention or they deal with Doctor Strange because of the mystical book.
The Deathlock?
Darkhold.
Darkhold. Yes. Sorry.
And so now they're because Doctor Strange is still like months away from being
But it was around this time. Yeah. It was in
this
the fall.
Was the beginning of the year. And
the beginning of the season.
The season.
So it was September, and then the film, I think, came out like November-ish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're kind of like hinting at that too. Again, keeping the series tied to the movies.
Right. And the Ghost Rider character, Robbie Reyes, what he finds is his uncle is involved with this group that was using the Darkhold to do some mystical stuff and, you know, trying to become like all powerful and mm-hmm. immortal and stuff.
Yes. And the end of the first pod, everybody kind of knows that Ada's a droid at this, you know, is a life. You know, I don't even think they called her a life model decoy.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's just an android, because Coulson tells Mace about Ada, and that he wants to use her to fight against
Morrow, which was Robbie's uncle.
Yes.
And then they do fight him, and they create this. Ada has used what she read from the Darkhold to create this portal.
Mm-hmm.
And then what winds up happening then is Ghost Rider takes his uncle into the portal and takes him into the portal, and then they both disappear and are in this other dimension. And then one of the other things that happens in that episode too, because Ada has read the Darkhold, and there's this whole thing of like, because she's an LMD and not a person, mm-hmm. that she can read it and not be affected by it, supposedly.
Because
she's an artificial being. But she starts to become sentient because of what she's read in the Darkhold. Mm-hmm. And she winds up, we see that she has kidnapped Agent May mm-hmm. and replaced May with a life model decoy, because she has May kind of bound up in a closet or bathroom at Radcliffe's home, so...
Yes, and this kind of where they start tapping into this is that when I saw this, it reminded me a lot of things about. Let me see if I could find my notes. And I thought, like, gee, why does this sound familiar? And it reminded me of the miniseries, comic miniseries that came out during the 90s, which was called Nick Fury versus S.H.I.E.L.D. And that whole entire plot line was that the life model decoys became sentient, and they were going around replacing all world leaders with life model decoys, and Nick Fury finds this out, and he's like, holy crap, I gotta stop this. He finds out most of S.H.I.E.L.D. is all artificial beings at this point. And it was a great, awesome series, which really brought me back into the fold of Marvel at that time. Now, it was done in 88. Wow, it was earlier than I thought. And each issue was 48 pages long, blah, blah, blah. Look it up. It was really great. Now, let's get rid of that. And let's see. So basically that ended the first pod.
Right.
May's been taken over, and nobody knows it. Ada has now become completely sentient.
Correct.
And is using the book for evil. Boom. Now, Fitz and Radcliffe decide to try to clear Ada's memory of all this, going like, it's like C-3PO.
Right.
Purge his memory, and we'll start over. It doesn't quite work.
Right. And so it says here in the notes that Ada finds the Darkhold because Coulson tells May what the location of the Darkhold is, because they've tried to take it and hide it,
mm-hmm.
but Coulson tells May, thinking it's May, but it's really the LMD, and of course, since it's the LMD, Ada knows what the LMD is seeing and hearing.
Yes, they're all connected together, they're all daisy-chained together, so it's just, so it's like, no matter what they do or say, Ada's completely aware of it.
And so that mentions here, Fitz takes back control of S.H.I.E.L.D. systems,
mm-hmm.
and before Ada escapes, Mac beheads her, which mm-hmm. kills that Ada, but meanwhile Radcliffe has made a new model of Ada and had her programmed with the same.
It transfers all the
transfers
everything over to her. So yep. the sentience, all the dark hold stuff, everything is moved into the new body, and so it's like they're right back.
And there's also a character they've introduced, Senator Nadir, who's actually behind the Watchdogs. She's kind of helping prop them up, and in a kind of one of these kind of ironic twists, her brother has become an inhuman, yet she's going out trying to kill Inhumans.
Yeah, and she doesn't know at this point, does she?
Right, correct.
Yes, so, and so now the all these LNDs are starting to infiltrate everything. They're all the S.H.I.E.L.D. members are being slowly replaced. Nobody knows this is going on.
Right.
And that Ada is like, well, I'm doing all this. Radcliffe finds out, and he's like, well, you can't really do this.
Right.
And so she goes, yeah, and I gotta stop you from talking. So she kills him.
But she puts his consciousness into the framework.
Yes. And the main the framework, the mainframe, is that we're... What Ada's been doing is been replacing all these members. She's been taking the humans and plugging them into a computer system like the Matrix.
Right.
And so now all these people are plugged in, not knowing that they're plugged in.
Right. So basically by the end of this second pod, like almost all of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been replaced with LMDs. You know, Coulson and the team are, they don't know who's an LMD, who isn't. But what winds up happening then is that they get away from the S.H.I.E.L.D. base. And the May LMD stays back and kind of blows it up to kill off all the LMDs.
Because the brainwave patterns of the humans are imprinted onto the LMDs,
right.
So her goodness or the good May surfaces enough,
right.
Or takes control of the LMD to take out everything else. But
because she finds out that she's an LMD, and it kind of like
rattles her,
and she realizes that she needs to do something to fix everything.
Yeah.
So then at the very end of the last episode of Pod 2, we get a preview of the next pod.
Yeah.
All of the agents are plugged into the framework, and so they are living in this framework kind of in a like alternate reality. So it's where Coulson is now a professor at a local school.
Mm-hmm.
Agent May is a member of Hydra, because in this alternate reality, Hydra is running everything. Simmons is dead.
Yeah.
Mac is back at home with his wife and his daughter, who in the real world is no longer living. So in the real world, Mac was married at one time, had a daughter. The daughter died. He got divorced from the wife. But in this reality, he's still with the wife and the daughter. Fitz is a big shot, and the kind of last reveal is that Daisy wakes up and her boyfriend is in bed, and she assumes it's Lincoln, but that turns out to be
Ward.
Exactly. So we bring Ward back from the dead yet again.
Yay. Now, Ada, in the real world, there's a guy that's named Ivanov.
Yeah, the Russian.
Russian.
Yeah, he's a Russian gangster, kind of.
Yeah, so she builds him a new body because he gets badly hurt, and she puts his consciousness into this robot body.
Yes.
So it's kind of like the reverse of what's going on, where it's an artificial being,
Right.
And so now, he's got a new body. Now he works for her. She's taken over everything in the real world as well as
in the framework.
Main frame, right?
Right.
In the framework. So therefore, now... she's slowly trying to take over everything, but in Pod 3 they
introduce everything in the framework, and this is where they change the title sequence. So now what it shows on the title sequence is Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then S.H.I.E.L.D. flips over to say Hydra, and the logo behind it, the eagle, turns into the Hydra. So
this is for that where the first one was all flames. For Ghost Rider, this one is
Hydra.
Hydra's octopus, because
right.
You cut off a head to grow in its place.
Right.
And so now,
So what we find out in the framework, the reason why we see Fitz looking like a big shot, he's actually one of the top people in Hydra. They refer to him as like the doctor, and he's responsible for all this torture and everything. But he's in love with Ada, who's in the framework as Ophelia, and
yes.
She's like the queen of Hydra, so to speak. She's like the lady in charge of Hydra.
Now, if I remember, Fritz's dad is shown in here,
yes.
too.
Yes, yes, he is.
But he's, again, this is the framework, so nothing is absolutely real. This is, so they're pulling from, I guess, all these memories.
Correct.
Like, or things that people wish would happen. It's
right.
Like Coulson probably, apparently doesn't want to be running things, so
right.
he wants to be able to still lead or teach, but
right.
So Fritz wants his dad
Fitz.
Around.
Fitz, you keep calling him Fritz.
Fitz
wants his dad around, and then You know, Mac, of course, wants his daughter alive, so that's what he has. They bring other people, you know, as we mentioned, Ward is back from the dead. Later in one of the episodes, they bring Agent Tripp back. They show him as being alive. So, but which obviously he isn't.
Yeah, right. So, and so now there's this artificial world, and everybody's very comfortable in it. Nobody's questioning it and everything. But Quake.
Same thing.
Yes. And Fritz.
And Fitz. And Daisy and Ward, Daisy is surprised to find out that Ward is actually, although he's an Hydra member and kind of a reverse of real life, he's actually a double agent there where he's an agent of Hydra but secretly working for the resistance against Hydra. So then he teams up with Daisy and with May to kind of introduces them to the resistance to try to fight against Hydra and defeat them.
But how does she get out?
Who?
Doesn't Daisy get out and then Fitz plugs her back in because of the Quinjet?
Yes. So they're I don't remember all the specifics, but when we first meet Daisy and back when she was Sky, she's a computer hacker. So she hacks into the system and gets into the framework and finds like kind of a backdoor portal out of the framework. So I thought she and May both get out. Because then May's flying the Quinjet.
The Quinjet, yes.
But they have to stay on the Quinjet because they're trying...
They're being tracked.
They're trying to stay away from Ada.
And so the Quinjet is fully shielded, and they have to keep moving. And so that's going to put a drain on power. So therefore, they have to... You know, there's a time limit. So they plug Quake back in.
Right.
And so she's got to go around, find everybody, convince them what... reality is not what it was. Mm-hmm. Make them remember what was going on, and then get them out to destroy Ada.
And then we also see. So then at the end of the pod, what happens is the Russian Ivanov takes the Darkhold to this international meeting. He proposes to use the book to get rid of Inhumans. Mm-hmm. And then as he's talking to them, an LMD of Daisy shows up, shoots Talbot in the head, and then in the ensuing fight, then the shield is able to retrieve the Darkhold. We have Ghost Rider come back. He's come back out of the portal.
Yes.
But now because
I don't think we mentioned that there was a dimensional portal that was designed and developed by Ada.
Yeah, we did mention that.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, when Ghost Rider pushed his uncle in there to get rid of him, basically.
Well, I don't think we mentioned it today because
we did. Yeah, we did. I mentioned it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're good.
All right.
All the rest of them are trying to leave. They're trying to get out of the framework. Mac though doesn't want to leave because of his daughter there. Mm-hmm. But then finally, because the framework is shutting down, his daughter starts to fade away. So then he agrees reluctantly to leave, All of them are able to get out, but Radcliffe, remember, had been killed, and she put his consciousness in there.
And his mind's still there.
So his mind's still there, but then his mind gets wiped out as the framework
disappears,
deleted. And meanwhile, earlier in the season, while they were in that pod, while they were in the framework, the director, Mace, was killed. He was killed in the framework, and that caused his body to die in the real world. So
yeah, and also, you know, if I remember right, that what they were trying to save his body, and the chamber was flooding.
Right.
Yes, and so you know
they had to leave his body in the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So just but he was an Inhuman too.
Yes, he was. Well, no. I thought it was that he was pretending to be an Inhuman, but he really wasn't.
I thought he was pretending not to be.
He was pretending. No. He was pretending that he was an Inhuman and that gave him powers, but he was really taking like a serum to try to give him like...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it was, you know, because over the years, everybody was trying to duplicate the...
Super soldier serum.
And they never could, which is where that man thing... It was a man thing? Came from, because he was trying to develop the serum too, and he got attacked by these people, and he took it and fell into the swamps, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, over the years, people have been trying to duplicate Captain America and never been able to do it.
Right. And so then what winds up happening, As Ghost Rider is involved with the fight, he realizes that his flaming chains can actually hurt Ada. While the rest of them try to do stuff to her, nothing can happen to her.
Because she's an artificial being, but enhanced by the Darkhold.
Which brings in the mystical part.
Yes.
Which is why his chains are able to hurt her. So they come up with a plan to defeat her, but in to do so, Coulson makes a deal with Ghost Rider where he temporarily becomes the Ghost Rider, and then he winds up killing Ada, but then transfers the Ghost Rider back to Robbie again. Mm-hmm. And then Ghost Rider takes the Darkhold through a portal to get rid of it.
Yeah, so that artificial portal to wherever. Right. We don't know where it goes to or what. But he goes in there and takes care of it and gets rid of that. So she's destroyed.
The Darkhold's gone.
All the LMDs are gone. And then it's just like, okay, well, we're good.
But they realize that the
government's still after them.
Because as far as the government knows, Daisy has killed Talbot. So they think that S.H.I.E.L.D. is this rogue agency. So they're waiting to be arrested. Mm-hmm. They go to a diner, and so they're expecting to be arrested. They hear some noise. They think it's the government coming to arrest them. And then all of a sudden, there's this bright light. Everybody freezes.
Yes.
They disappear, and then all of a sudden, we cut to credits. And then in the post credits, we see Coulson waking up in what appears to be outer space.
Yes. And then he goes to the window, and there's all these asteroids right there. And he goes, "Well, it's time to go to work." At this point, I felt like because everybody in the cafe froze, I felt like they're all LMDs. Coulson made everybody a copy, and then they went off to do whatever this thing in the space station was. And I felt like, boom, he got away with it. But that's not the case.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll wind up with season 5, which breaks records, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And we're back. Now, we spent 4 years and 89 episodes bringing us up to season 5. Now, where we left everybody off was that we weren't quite sure what was going on. I thought they were LMDs. They're not. They disappeared. All of a sudden, Coulson's in space. Now,
and I saw all sorts of wild speculation as to where he could be. Online, people were saying they were in the negative zone.
I thought that was a good one.
They were on the creep home planet. Yes. You know, all sorts of different things that people were speculating.
And I really thought, like, well, it's, and I was even thinking of Asteroid M, Magneto's base in space. And I thought, like, well, I thought, like,
well, they can't do that.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's tying back to X-Men again.
Well, yes, I guess so. So I really thought the negative zone was a pretty good guess because.
But then that would also be tough because that's Fantastic Four, right?
But the Sentinels weren't tied. You know, they were in the X-Men, but you know, anyway.
Yeah.
So any. Anyway, so
we digress.
We digress. Now, the writers on this one said that this was broken up into two pods, and the first pod does not end with episode 100. It is ending in a couple of more episodes later on. So, sadly, we're going to have to stop at episode 100 because that's all we've seen. Have you seen any commercials for 101?
Well, they gave a quick preview at the end of 100.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, and it'll be on tomorrow.
Yes. So everybody.
As of this taping.
Yes, as of this taping, it'll be on tomorrow. And please check out our previous ones as well. So anyway, season 5 starts with them being on what we thought was the space station.
Right.
And the Kree are involved. And it looks like what's going on because everything is disheveled. We don't know. Everybody's got these trackers on. Obviously, the S.H.I.E.L.D. people don't have trackers.
At the very beginning, they go into one area where this guy comes in and he's talking about these bugs, and we see these alien creatures that look like kind of like the aliens from Alien almost.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy winds up getting killed by him, and I guess the aliens suck all the liquid out of the bodies. So
so it's like, holy crap, what's going on here? Well, it's later, we later discover in this first pod here that
I think even wasn't it towards the end of the first episode?
Yes.
Because May goes out with the ship and then turns back and realizes...
Yes, that it's actually Earth.
Right, but it's not... But most of Earth is gone. It's just like...
It's like blown apart.
It's blown apart. It's like if you think of Earth as an orange, it's like if you took a chunk of peel off the top, that's all that's left of Earth.
Yeah, there's a big hole in it. It's just, right. You know, just... And it's just like, what the hell happened? And the debris, all the broken off pieces are still
So the asteroids, what we thought were asteroids...
Is chunks of Earth.
That Coulson was looking at, that was chunks of Earth, right?
And so we find out that that they were brought
to the future, to the year 2091.
Yes, from 2018 to 2091 to save the planet somehow.
Yes,
but how? If it's already destroyed, how are they saving it? But anyway, so they're like, "Holy crap, what's going on here?" But not everybody made it.
So Fitz is not there. Fitz mm-hmm. was back at the diner.
2018.
Well, 2017.
2017. Yes.
But then, so there's all sorts of things going on the space station, which is referred to as the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
There's this Kree who's kind of the overlord of the area, Cassius, who's not a really nice guy at all.
No.
Simmons winds up becoming like one of his servants.
She accidentally harms one of his servants, and he doesn't like that servant anymore because he's not perfect anymore. So he gets him killed. She takes his place, and he controls her.
And then the rest of the team is just kind of they're because they're assigned to like move rocks around, like
mining what's left of the earth.
And then meanwhile, after a couple of episodes, we find out what happens to Fitz. So Fitz winds up, doesn't he go to jail? He's in jail.
Well, he's in jail. Oh, he's in captivity, or he's
like in a shield prison, basically.
Yeah, and then Hunter
comes back
and breaks him out.
Right,
and then there and he. It figures out, you know, what's going on. It's just like, oh, you know, they weren't teleported away. Well, they were, but. They were not moved in space, but in space and time. So he's like,
how? Well, he finds the character, is it Enoch?
Enoch, yes.
Right, who is a Chronicon?
Chronicon Watcher type of dude.
Right, he's a Chronicon. They say he's a Chronicon.
Yes.
And so then he lets Fitz know where they've gone, that they're in the future. And so Fitz ultimately decides that he wants to go and rescue Gemma.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But how in the world is he going to do that? Because he doesn't have the teleportation device.
Right.
So he uses what technology he has available to him. And
he's frozen.
Yeah,
so Enoch freezes him inside the lighthouse and leaves him there until 2091.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile...
I thought he was in a ship.
He was in a ship, but he got... Well,
it was around Saturn, right? He was taken off planet.
Yeah, he was, right.
Yeah.
But I think... But he got on the ship in the lighthouse. Is
yes.
What I mean. Yes. And so then while he's frozen, Enoch kind of creates this background for him,
mm-hmm.
and creates him to be a kind of this wealthy kind of bad guy who's going around the galaxy. So he has a reputation that precedes
built
him built up before we actually see him.
So to give him a backstory, so when he does meet the Kree.
Cassius,
that, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, I've heard of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So he took the long path to get
exactly.
Here.
Now, the other thing we find out is that everyone blames Daisy for the destruction of the world. They call her the destroyer of worlds.
Yes.
She's the destroyer of worlds. So so we find out that she's being blamed for that, that somehow she managed to create a quake severe enough to basically break up the entire planet.
Yeah. And still survive. Right. And so, but the lighthouse, the space station that they're on is part of, you know, later on we find out that it exists in 2017.
Right.
But, you know, so, you know, she's, you know, overwhelmingly grieving, you know, saying, like, I destroyed the world and everything.
Right.
They get to the point where they figure out that they can use the monolith to come back to the present time, but they have to do it in such a way that what's the new guy's name?
Deke
is going to sacrifice himself to cause this portal.
So they find a piece of the monolith, mm-hmm. and they figure out a way to have that piece kind of draw the other pieces to it. Mm-hmm. And then there's also this kid who's an inhuman, and his ability is to move rocks. Yeah. So he kind of helps them to reassemble the monolith. And then
forgot about him.
Yeah, so they bring the monolith back together, and then it transports all of them back to
present day.
Back to present day. All of them, including Fitz, including Daisy, I think, did she not want to go or something?
Yeah,
I remember.
She doesn't want to go, and Coulson zaps
because she's worried that when she goes back, she's going to destroy the world again. Yes. And so Coulson zaps her to knock her out, and then she gets sucked back there as well.
Now, Yo-Yo,
yes.
Which is a mind-blowing thing that happens in this first pod part, she meets a future self of herself.
Right. She meets her future self, who kind of tells her that no matter what, that this is the destiny. This is destined to happen.
Yes.
No matter what you do, it's still going to happen.
And Coulson has to die.
And she says, "Don't try to stop. Coulson's going to die. Don't try to stop him from dying."
And the really shocking part is that she does not have any forearms.
She does not have any forearms.
The future Yo-Yo.
The future Yo-Yo does not have any forearms. That's correct.
And so they go back to the present day, and they end up in the lighthouse.
Correct.
Which happens to be a shield base. That has older technology in it.
Correct. And then they send Deke out to do some recon because since he's from the future, nobody's going to be looking for him.
No, there's no record of him.
Right. And he manages to stumble his way into a bar and have a real hamburger for the first time. Tries beer, doesn't like it, so then he winds up drinking Zima.
Yeah.
and thinks Zima is the greatest thing around.
Yes. It's great things. Yeah. Hey, if you haven't tried them, try them. They're back for a limited time. The reason why, he tries to leave and he realizes, oh, wait, this isn't my creation that I built in the future, because he recreates the mainframe, and so everybody is able to escape for a while. Oh, I don't have any money. So he gets arrested.
Well, he doesn't even have a concept of money. So he doesn't. So the bartender asks him to pay his tab, and he's like, showing him his chip for credits, and so then he gets arrested, and then Daisy goes to bail him out. She pretends to be like a social worker.
Oh yes,
she pretends to be a social worker, and there's no record of Deke because he's from the future, so he has no fingerprinting, no
driver's
license, nothing. But because there's been this APB out for Daisy, because the LMD, remember, shot Talbot, the one officer in the police station recognizes her and sends an alert back to the government. So
and so now they're surrounding. They're starting to come down on the town really hard. They don't. They bring everybody because she's got powers and they know it. So they get back to the lighthouse and they're like, "Holy crap! What are we gonna do?" But in the lighthouse, they find a beacon that's supposedly sending a signal out to space.
Right.
But it's not really, because all these SHIELD agents think that that it's a signal going up to Kree to come down there. Like, oh, this is how the Earth gets destroyed.
Right.
And it's not Quake's fault.
But it turns out that's not what it is. The beacon was set there basically as a distraction to draw the SHIELD agents to where it was.
And it did.
And it did. It worked. And then, meanwhile, they've met a new Chronicon.
Yes.
And so then they find in this facility that there are three monoliths all together.
And all the crap. This is where probably I'm getting ahead of it a little bit. There's three of them there. The beacon's in front of them, but it's really a bomb.
And so then the Chronicon jumps on the beacon. But meanwhile, that's at the end of episode 99. So then by the beginning of episode 100, we find out that this explosion has created this interdimensional rift in time and space that's on one of the levels of the lighthouse.
Yes, it's very deep into the lighthouse. And I thought, like, well, this is the beginning of the end. And so, but the rift in space and time taps into people's memories and things. And so anything that bad that you can think of becomes reality.
Right.
And, you know, there was a line in there about talking about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Right, right. We're referring back to Ghostbusters.
Which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, that was Coulson's line.
Okay. Yeah. And so now they have to deal with this rift, their bad memories, the government banging on the front door.
Right. And so then Fitz comes up with a way to seal the portal, but he needs somebody to go down there and drop this device.
Yeah, it has to be done manually.
It has to be done manually. So Coulson says that he'll do it. And so the rest of the team says, oh, no, you can't do it. You're our leader. We need you, blah, blah, blah.
But,
and then he collapses. So they find out Simmons does a medical check on him and finds out that his heart is dying. And so then Coulson finally reveals, and in a few of the previous episodes, we'd started to see that he had like some kind of sickness creeping on his chest. So what is revealed is that when he made the deal with Ghost Rider, he also had to have the serum, the Kree serum that brought him back in Tahiti, had to be burned out of his body. And so since that serum is gone, he's now kind of slowly dying.
Yes, kind of like where the wound was from the Avengers. So everything is tying back to that. So now they're going, and he's like, I got to go. And he says, I'm the only one I can go because I'm dying.
So it doesn't matter if something happens.
Yeah, to me, basically. He says, I've already died once. You know, it says, I've been living off of borrowed time, so therefore it's my duty. And everybody's like, no.
And with this being the 100th episode, so with, as you mentioned, the portal brings back things that people fear and what have you, so we see some of the characters, or some of the things from previous episodes. We see the aliens from the future.
Yes.
We see Hive. We see
LMD.
We see an LMD. We see the Inhuman Lash, who was killing the Inhumans. So we see all these different things down there.
And everybody's dealing with it.
And everybody, and so, but then Coulson also sees a vision of Mike Patterson,
which was
Deathlok. But he sees him as he's Mike Patterson before he became Deathlok.
Yes.
And so Mike is telling him, or this vision of Mike is telling him that none of this is real. This is all
because
in your mind.
Because
he's still on the table. Tahiti wasn't even real. That he's on the operating table after Loki pierced his heart. Mm-hmm. And he even tells him that he was there. And so then Coulson sees this image of Mike in like scrubs. That he's like one of the
medical
people working on him on the table. And so you're kind of wondering at that point, is that true? So has the whole series been a dream? We don't really know.
Is he going to wake up and then we're going to start the whole thing? Is this the way they're rebooting the
series? Right. You don't know what's going on. But then all of a sudden a Quinjet shows up with a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents to come help the team.
Because Deke had, when he was out, he was sent back out to grab a whole bunch of supplies and stuff.
And he was given a phone number to call and give some kind of code. So these S.H.I.E.L.D. agents show up, and on the Quinjet is Deathlok. So then Deathlok goes down into the portal, and it's
where the portal is.
Where the portal is. Go down to the level where the portal is, and he helps Coulson defeat
all these
visions that are around him. And then Coulson sets the device off.
And he almost gets sucked into it. I really thought, like, well, his contract's off. He's going to be gone.
Right.
But
he holds on to Deathlok, and then they manage to survive it. They go back up, and now everything is okay for now. But Fitz even says it's only a temporary solution. They still have to figure out how to close the rift.
Yeah, because it's almost like a Band-Aid. Because this mechanical device is holding the portal closed, but it's still there.
It's just not gone away.
Yes.
It's just not open.
It's like a lock.
Yep.
And then, but all these bad memories and everything are still, the only thing that's left is on this one level. It's an whole entire level from Deke, because he got so freaked out because he's always been on a space station. He had never been outside before. And his horrible memory was fresh air, plants, flies, bugs, grass, and everything. And they use that setting, which is a beautiful garden setting for another big drop,
which is the wedding of Fitz and Simmons. So earlier in the season, when Fitz got back to Simmons in the future, because he'd gone through all this ordeal to get to her, he actually proposes to her in the middle of a fight.
Yes.
In the middle of a fight sequence. And she says yes. So, and one of the things Coulson says before he goes down to the level where the portal is, he tells Fitz that he'll do it, but Fitz has to promise to do the other thing that they had talked about.
Yes, which is not, we don't know what it is.
But as it turns out, it's for him to get married to Gemma.
Okay.
And we also find out that some of what they sent Deke out to get were things for the wedding. So he gets a dress for Gemma. He finds rings for both of them. And he makes a comment that the ring that he he picked out for Gemma reminded him of the ring that his grandmother used to have.
Because he's a witness to the wedding, and he and Deathlok are there, you know, watching the ceremony and stuff, and they're doing this beautiful banter back and forth between the two of them, and he keeps bringing up all these things. Like, you know, he says, oh, yeah, I'm from the future and everything. Oh, you know, that ring kind of sort of reminds me of my grandmother's ring. Oh, and he meant...
Well, he asked Deathlok, are you groom side or bride side? And he says, well, I know them both. He said, what about you? And he says, I don't really know either of them.
Yeah.
And then, meanwhile, they cut to the police station where Deke had been arrested and where Daisy had gone to bail him out. And they're saying they can't find any fingerprint records. There's no photo ID of him anywhere, no trace of him anywhere. Mm. So they do a DNA test, and they say they don't find any evidence of him, but they do find a hit for him with two people, and it's Simmons and Fitz. So we basically are finding out that he's their grandson from the future.
And that's why, you know, they didn't kill him off, you know, because again, you know, they bring all these characters in and they let them dangle. Now we have somebody from the future here, and it's like they don't even know who he is. He doesn't know who he is.
We know who he is now.
Yes. And so they end episode 100 with this great wedding. Everybody's alive for the time being. Coulson is still sick.
Mm-hmm. Yo-Yo, I think we forgot to mention when they got back to the present.
Damn, I forgot about
that. There was a fight scene where Yo-Yo gets her arms cut off, and so she's saying it's all happening. So yes. She's seeing that what she was told from her future self is all slowly unraveling.
Remember some of the we didn't bring this up because of this, is that in the future you always see Yo-Yo wearing these gloves that are covering her forearms, so she could have artificial arms just like Coulson when they did the flashback, because they do these flashbacks where the Earth is destroyed. They're moving forward and normally in time. This is before they get transported to the future. They meet a seer,
May is taking care of her, basically being like a mom to her.
Yes.
But then they see her again
in the future,
where she's now an older woman, and she's telling them basically because she kind of sees all periods of time all at once. She sees like the present, the past, the future, it's all the same.
Yes.
And so she tells them that there is one path where they can stop the destruction of the world.
And so, you know, she's got all these drawings from when she was a kid, the seer, and all this stuff. So they kind of had some hints and things like this.
Right.
But in the future, back in the present, Yo-Yo gets her arms cut off, which kind of starts playing to what may happen.
Right.
And so, therefore, that's where they left it hanging.
So we still have to resolve getting the portal closed.
Yes.
And they have to stop the world from being
destroyed.
And then I assume after that, then we're going to move on to whatever's going to happen in Pod 2.
Yeah, in Pod 2. Now, here's the thing is that the movies and the TV show kind of have, up to this point, been going in chronological order. Now, Marvel has now mentioned that Ant-Man and Wasp, that comes out after
Avengers
takes place before Avengers.
Right. But I just saw something recently that Scarlett Johansson made a comment that Avengers Infinity War takes place 2 or 3 years after Civil War. So there's been some gap of time where the heroes have been kind of off, you know, especially the ones that were sided with Cap, they're off kind of being rogue for the last couple of years before we get to Infinity War.
You know, but in chronological order, it goes Wasp, then Avengers.
Correct.
Yes. So this. So now, because of that, Pod 2, we have no. We're just speculating. Season 5 ends after Avengers comes out. So if Pod 2 deals with the Avengers, we don't know as of yet.
I'm going to guess that probably it will, because if you think about it, the beginning of the series kind of followed from the first Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the first season, they tied back to Winter Soldier.
Yes.
They brought in elements from Age of Ultron with, you know, later on.
Mm-hmm.
Then they kind of introduced things from Civil War with, like, the Sokovia Accords, and they had to sign the documents. So they've kind of been tying back. not necessarily to every Marvel film, but they've definitely been kind of sticking with the Avengers stories.
The bigger impacting things right. that they deal with. So now there's the speculation is, does S.H.I.E.L.D. show up in the Avengers? Do they find out Coulson's still alive? Because up to this point, all the Avengers think that Coulson's dead.
Right, and I did see a quote from Kevin Feige where he said, in the films, Coulson's dead. As far as like all the characters in the films are concerned, Coulson's dead.
So therefore, they have to keep S.H.I.E.L.D. still separate. Don't forget, S.H.I.E.L.D. is still dismantled at this point, so they can't jump in there and go like, hey, we're going to help you, Avengers. Right. Unless, you know, Nick Fury shows up with a helicarrier again. But
you never know.
Yes, yeah, so we'll swing back around after the Avengers come out. Oh, and it was just announced today by AMC Theaters, not the TV channel.
AMC Theaters, right.
Yes, that there's going to be.
The AMC Theaters is going to be doing a Marvel Cinematic Universe marathon in preparation of the premiere of Infinity War. So you can actually see all 18 Marvel Cinematic Universe films.
In order,
starting with Iron Man 1, going all the way up to Black Panther, and then go right on into Infinity War. And they're estimating it's 31 hours to watch all of these films.
Now, if that includes breaks, who knows? But, you know, I did the Lord of the Rings marathon, and that took me 14 hours to do all those films. Yeah, 18 films? 19? Oh, is it?
Will be 19 if 19 you include films. The Infinity War.
Yeah, and Infinity War is, they've already released the time. It's going to be 2 hours and 33 minutes. The longest Marvel film ever.
Right.
So, you know, that's going to be close to 35 hours worth of films. You know, and I am betting that I do this. Now, if they do it over 2 days or not, that's yet to be seen because that
you
was
actually. You've got to sleep at some point.
I've done worse. Okay. But anyway, so please, I want everybody to write in and do your due diligence about talking about Pod 2 for Season 5 and your speculations and how this is going to tie into the Avengers film. So we all here at geekculture.online would really like to thank all our listeners. Without you, we couldn't be able to do this. Now, don't forget to go to our webpage at geekculture.online and comment and like our podcast and like our articles. If you don't tell us what you like, we're just going to continue what we like. Now, don't forget to check us out at Facebook at geekcultureonline, no dot, Twitter at yourgeekculture, Instagram at geekcultureonline, no dot, and you can write me at patrick@geekculture.online, and you can reach Ethan at...
You can reach me on Twitter at EthanGB.
Okay. I'm Patrick Boland.
I'm Ethan.
Thank you again from geekculture.online, your destination of all things geek. Hail Hydra.